You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is On the Job. Now, obviously, I'm going to talk to you today about your job. I don't know that this gets talked about at all or enough, and there is something that happens even with really great church people when they walk out the door of a gathering, whether it's a Bible study, a Sunday, a Saturday, whenever you gather with people and God's people. There is something that you kind of get your groove on, your thing on when you come in, and most people, even if they have to come in two cars, if they fought all the way to church, they can get their stuff together and kind of act like things are okay. And for an hour, 2 hours, you can make it. Then you get out, you get back in your car, you go home, and you get back to whoever you really are. Sometimes that is what happens. Then you leave your house and you go to work. You don't spend all your time here. This is a brief gathering along the way. Some of you show up weekly, some of you show up monthly, annually, whatever, you know, twice a year, the C&E, you know, bunch, Christmas and Easter, maybe Mother's Day, if she's alive. If she's not alive, you skip that one, you know. You show up whenever you show up. But we live at work. We don't even spend as much time with our families. The people we work around are really the mission field that God has given you. Now, I almost want to would love to do like a little survey, a little random thing here, and kind of as much as possible, completely randomly pick someone and say that we're going to send some people to follow you around for a week on your job. And we're going to ask questions of the people that you work with, other employees, business associates, anybody. And one of the first things we're going to find out is, from those people, is so-and-so, and you are the so-and-so, is this person a spiritual person? We'll just start there. See if we get any kind of answer there. If we get that yes, then we say, well, what would you think that they believe? Where are they coming from spiritually? And then maybe somewhere say, is this person, is this man, is this woman, young person, a Christian? Is there enough evidence on the job to incriminate you, indict you as a Christian? Or would people go, oh, I never knew that about them? How is it possible to spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week with a bunch of people and nobody know where you're coming from? You say, yeah, but I come to church. It ain't working then. Something is not working. If you can come here and listen to all these messages and you can go home and read your Bible and you go to work and nobody knows who you are, where you're coming from, you never have the conversation, you die one day, you stand before God, maybe you make it by the skin of your teeth, but then hundreds, if not thousands of people line up and go, dude, we're going to curse you forever. We did business together. We made money together. You helped my family. I helped your family. We were together all the time. You never said anything about this. And you're afraid of offending me? I'm really offended now because I'm going to be in hell forever. And you say, well, Richard, you don't really believe that stuff. Nobody's going to hell, are they? Don't talk about hell. You'll run people off. There's nobody left to run off, so what have I got to lose? What do people at work have on you that they would go, oh my gosh, dude, he's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah, I notice sometimes at lunch, she'll steal somewhere and pray. And when something's going on in the office, she's the one or he's the one that comes and says, do you need any help? Or, you know, and I'm not talking about being a nice person. There are a lot of nice people where you work. It's got to step it up above that. What is so distinctively different about you that they say, no, not just moral, not just ethical, not just hardworking, this man, this woman, there is something going on. You can see it in their eyes, in the way they work, everything about them, there is something different. Now, let me tell you why I'm going at this. I meet people and see people not just here. And if you do walk in on somebody on their job and talk to some people that they work with, it isn't this all the time. It is not seamless all the time. The goal is to be the same person here, there, home, everywhere, so that there's no getting caught. What's your language like at work? You say, oh, I would never use that kind of language at church, but on the job with the guys. You know, you can say certain things, but you got to watch what you say, where you say it. You have a reputation. Are you aware of that? You have a reputation. And if we did a little survey and say, well, what about this employee? He's lazy. Stealing money off the clock. Just always trying to get out of work. Taking stuff home. Go read the research, United States Chamber of Commerce, on thefts. How many people steal one time? I think the number is like 75% of people steal one time and then half of them steal again at work. Now see, it was fine to come to church and be here, but when you start talking about going into the office and going into your world, you say, dude, that's none of your business. It's not your business either. It's his business. It's his name. You represent him, not just you. Now let's look at some verses. Go to Ecclesiastes 9, Old Testament. And I highly recommend reading this. Solomon, talking about him here, King Solomon, had everything and completely, it seems, disillusioned by the end, because I think he basically got bored. He had, you know, 1,000 women technically that were his, I think 700 wives, 300 concubines, couldn't build anything else, couldn't buy anything else, just everything. Ecclesiastes 9, look at verse 10. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. In other words, whatever you're going to do, do it now. Because once you die, there is no making up for it. Whatever you're going to learn, learn it now. Whatever you're going to accomplish in this life, accomplish it. You don't have the guarantee of any tomorrow. Pursue it now, do it now. And here he says, do it with all your might. Now I'll read you some verses in the New Testament as well. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians in the New Testament chapter 6. And let's jump in here. He's given some just simple admonition here and kind of going down the line of things, the way Christians should live. Ephesians 6 verse 5 and following. And the word in the New King James here says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. And I love the fact that he addresses Christians who are slaves at the time. The Bible, and I've said this many times, I know, but the Bible is so amazing because it talks to everybody. If you are literally at some point in history a slave and you find Christ and you desperately need him and you open the Bible, you made the Bible. You are in there. And it talks to you and you say, well, a slave doesn't have any rights. Why, you know, they shouldn't have to do anything. Even a slave is trying to figure out how to live their life. Whether you're in prison, whether you're a slave, whatever your situation, you got to figure out how you're going to make it. And so it addresses this. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. And I'll read you another verse in Colossians in a minute to go back to this fear and trembling. In sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Talks to slaves and to masters, and I think you can lump anybody free or a boss of any kind into this category. How are you being treated? How are you working no matter how you're being treated? And if you go to work where God is using, you see, my shot is maybe standing here having this conversation, discipling a few one-on-one, some small groups, maybe what goes out over the radio. I've got a shot at a certain group of people. I can't go where you go. And when you invite someone to church, the reason they may not come with you is they don't want to be like you. If you're the example of a Christian, they say, dude, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm looking for something a little more committed. Because when you talk about it casually. There's no passion. There's no anything about it. It's not changing your life. Why would I spend my Sunday morning down there? I wake up, read the paper in my boxers, and let you people go down there and waste your time. So when you come and you are passionate and you figure this out, not just for the audience on a Sunday or whenever you're at your deal, but you get beyond this, and when you go to work, you're game on. You are ready to go to work, not just doing your job, but letting God do the work he's trying to do in and through you on that job. I can name you men and women in this room who are not the same people who they were years ago, and everybody on the job knows it as well. Something has changed. And when they work hard, they interact differently. I've had conversations with guys saying, man, my last thing is my language. I get out there on the job and I've used this language and now God's working on my language and now I'm not even talking the same way. People notice these things, not a couple of days at a time. They notice the change over a period of time, and what people are looking for is change in their own life, change that will stick, not seminar change. I don't want to go to some little weekend thing and you tell me and I go back and try to find that. I'm looking for somebody who's got some sustained change where I go, okay, you got something going on. I want a piece of that because my life is not working my way. So if I'm going to follow you, I want to make sure you've got something worth following. You are preaching some kind of message where you work. And you are telling people how you really feel about this Jesus and this God and this whole religion thing by you. You are it. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. You're the preacher. No, you are the preacher. You're preaching every day or not. So when you walk into your job and you have truth and you are living truth, then people see the truth and go, there's something in there. Go to Colossians, just a few pages over, and then I'm going to read you some stories out of the book about some businessmen. Colossians chapter 3. Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus, and he said some things, and then he says the same thing needs to be said. The Holy Spirit decides this stuff to the church at Colossae, so the Colossians get a letter, and this is what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Bondservants, same thing. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. In other words, stop doing your job while someone's watching. Don't just work when someone's watching. Why? As men pleasers, just trying to get them to pay attention and say, well, they're happy when I'm here. But in sincerity of heart, fearing God, the fearing and trembling back from Ephesians, the fearing and trembling is God you fear. Don't ultimately just fear your boss. It's not your job you lose. There is consequence for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Look at verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Ultimately, it is for God that you work. Knowing, then look at the rest of this, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. In other words, God doesn't have favorites. This applies to everybody. Now you work. You say, well, I go to work and I do my job and I'm not stealing. I'm trying to work hard and so-and-so is doing whatever they want to do and getting away with it. Let me tell you something. The Bible says they don't get away with it. You reap what you sow. There are consequences, and you don't have to wish evil on anybody. It takes care of itself. Yeah, but they seem to be getting away with it. They're not getting away with anything. Sooner or later, everybody gets caught. Because you think that only men, women, people are watching. God himself looks down and knows what's going on. He knows what's going on as you as an employee, and he knows what's going on if you're the boss. Now, a horrible thing would be to be the boss and end up in heaven one day, and all your employees go, we sure didn't want to go where he was going because he made our life hell already. What kind of supervisor are you? What kind of leader are you? You say, well, but we can't mix. We can't pray on the job. We can't read scripture, all that. You know what? Forget all that. You don't need all that. Live a holy life. They can't stop that. They'll have to fire you. Because something about just who we are, our countenance, our physical presence. I know there are people, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, there are people who want to get away from me. You know why they want to get away from me? Because they want to get away from him. And I don't take it personally. They feel ashamed, they feel embarrassed, whatever it is. Like, dude, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to look in your eyes because I look at you and maybe there's Jesus working in you and I don't want to talk to him. If you can get him to step out for a while, I'll talk to you. But, you know, the both of you together, I can't handle. Is that you? Are you the poster child for Jesus on your job? You say, well, I don't, whatever you're talking about, dude, I don't want to do that. You say, I might get fired. You're not working anyway. Now you're laughing, but what do I mean about that? I think people have, as a Christian, you have a job and you have a vocation. I have the unbelievable luxury of those two being the same. It shouldn't even be legal. I'm not offering to quit, but it shouldn't be legal. And there are a lot of bivocational men and women out there in ministry who have a job and do it. It is a complete luxury to get to do what I do. I acknowledge that. But for a long time in business, I had a job and I had a vocation. One pays your bills, the other is why you've been left on the planet. Figure it out. You say, well, I'm in such and such a business. Great, that's what's paying your bills. That's the vehicle that God gives you to get out there in the world and in the business world. But your job on the job is to be a believer, to be salt, to be light, somehow be in the world and not of the world. And you say, well, I'm going to be all things to all men, that I might win some. So if everybody's going to Hooters, I'm going to go with them so I can witness to them. I'm not saying that. You got to be walking with God enough to know where you're supposed to go and not go, and make that call and not do foolish things that will tarnish not your reputation. Bigger than my reputation is His reputation. You say, yeah, but you're a preacher. You got to watch your reputation. You know what? Then what are you? What does that say about you? You nobody? I'm somebody because I'm a preacher? I'm a believer that has this job. You got the job out there in the world. Is this making sense to anybody? You know, here's where it's frustrating for me on my job. The older I get, the longer I do this, I'm looking for results. You say, well, we're Christians. A bunch of us are Christians. We're going to die and go to heaven. You know what? I'm not good with that. That ain't enough for me. That's nice, but I'm not interested in just you being alive. I'm interested in you living. I'm listening for stories, success stories. I listen for you going to work, going back into that field, that harvest field, and coming back and going, man, I had an amazing conversation Tuesday, and then Wednesday after lunch, and then Thursday, and this guy's wife was about to leave him, and I prayed with him in the elevator. I walked him to his car. We grabbed some lunch. I bought him some coffee, had a conversation, sent a card, sent a text. You're on the job. And by the way, you should be the best employee your company has. It's not that you don't do your job. They respect you because the kind of work you do. Your testimony may fall apart right there. If you're lazy, you have shot your testimony all to pieces. Well, I don't know why they don't, you know, want my Jesus, because they work harder than you without Him. Well, I'm underpaid, so I'm just taking my extra salary in time. I'm sure that came up in the interview process, that was one of the options. If you don't feel like you're getting paid enough, just steal some time on your own. See, most people don't like this stuff. You know what, Richard? Just stick to your deal, and, you know, at church, it's none of your business. This is the deal. We are supposed to be penetrating our world, our culture, something so different. They go, that's what I've been looking for my whole life. And God sent you into my job. Now, am I some evangelist and talk to everything that moves? No, I get locked up too, and I don't want to have this conversation. But the Holy Spirit, you cannot imagine how this stuff works. You are being moved around. If you end up someplace and you go, what am I doing here? You know what? You don't have to ask that anymore. God may have placed you there for a reason. Your copier goes down at work and a salesperson, you know, some repair guy shows up. You know what? You're all screaming and banging on the copier. You probably broke it anyway. You know. Stop and go, you know what? My copier didn't work. Who's showing up to fix it? Okay. There's my person. Hey, how are you doing? Tell me about yourself. Where are you from? Are you married? You got kids? You know what? People are this close to exploding a lot of times. They'll tell you their whole story and you can't stop them, but you know, listen. And maybe say, you know what? I'll pray for you. You should have these stories. If you don't have these stories, this isn't working. Maybe one more. Go to Luke 19. I like that these stories are in the Bible. This one isn't a very long one. Luke chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. He was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So there's a little short guy, but he wants to see Jesus. He's got money, just wanted to see him. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. The guy's smart, he's rich, he goes, okay, he's coming through town, he's got to come through here, I'll get up the tree, I'll get a look at him, and that's it. Kind of a rock star thing, you know, who is this guy? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said to him, now this must have freaked the guy completely out. He didn't say, hey you, hey dude, whatever, he said, Zacchaeus, spoke his name. Jesus knows your name, and he knows the person's name that you've been sent into their life. Looked up, saw him, and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I must stay at your house. I'm going to your place. So he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. Look at Zacchaeus. Oh, no, I ain't going. Zacchaeus had been waiting for something to happen and joyfully says, come on. made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. That you should be accused of all the time. If I get a reputation for hanging out with sinners, then fire me for that. I'll go that way. If all I do is hang out with nice Christian people, I'm in trouble. That is not why God left me on the planet. So if you're with some bad mamma jammas or whatever out there, that's where you're supposed to be. Be careful. Don't go by yourself. Jesus is with a bunch of people here. But you should be associating in the world, not of the world. You have to be around these people or you're not going to reach them. This is what drove him nuts. He'd eat with these people even. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You know why he said all that? Because he had done all that. He's repenting out loud in front of Jesus. He's like, look, I know who I am, and you know who I am, and you came to my house anyway, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make restitution. I give half my goods to the poor. That's just because, you know, maybe I've done something illegal along the way, so they get half. And the people that I know that I have gotten in trouble by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, without going too far into this, imagine the people. Those are specific cases where Zacchaeus is going to go back and look at someone and says, your money was taken away from you because of a false accusation. I was an accomplice to that. Here is four times what was taken away from you. That'll change the world. That ain't talking about it. That is doing something. That is going back into a situation and making it right. That shocks the fire out of people. Even nice people don't want to do that. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Unless you work in some ministry someplace, you are surrounded by lost people. And God has given you that job for the specific purpose of reaching those people. That's where you live and work. That's where you spend your life. Then do what he put you there to do on the job. You say, well, I don't know what I'd say. Forget all that what you would say. Let him speak. Stay in the scriptures. Stay around other believers. Huddle up every once in a while and then get back in there. You're going to have plenty to say. Tell your story. Be a witness. See what he can do. And I'm not talking about putting a fish on your car, you know, or a Bible on your desk. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being the Bible, being alive in that situation. Hard worker, knowing that God is watching you, but you are supposed to be having an impact.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
I'm going to give you a challenge. Between now and next week, one person on your job, and your job this week is to have a conversation with that person about your faith and their faith. Maybe they don't have any faith. Your job is to tell your part of the deal and just leave it there. How many of you have a name in mind? Raise your hand. The rest of you are the person we need to be helping. You say, well, I can't think of anybody here. I don't want to do that. Then what are you doing here? What are we doing? What is this? It's a waste of time. Well, I just want to feel better. You're not going to feel better. You're not doing what God made you to do and left you here to do. So you're not going to feel better. You're going to be frustrated till the day you die that my life's not making a difference. There's no change. You don't have to change. You haven't told anybody you've changed. It's time to come out of your little closet and say, you know what? I'm here. I'm not talking about whacking people over the Bible or singing hymns in the elevator at the top of your lungs. I mean, you don't have to get crazy. You know, when lights come on, they just do what they do. They light something up. Just let your light shine that men may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father's in heaven. Let him live in you and through you, not just for a few hours at some Bible study or church service, but where you live, where you work, have the conversations. Salt. If salt's doing its job, it gets really messy. Salt shaker all nice and neat, all the salt doesn't do any good. Something to look at. You start shaking that thing out, it's going to end up in a mess, but it adds taste, flavor, it changes things. We are that.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.